Welcome to Career Tools. This is Wendy.
And this is Amanda.
Today's cast, maintaining your professional presence whilst working remotely, be early to meetings.
The questions that this cast answers are, how can I keep my achievements top of mind for my boss when I work remotely? How can I use meetings to stay on top of mind? And what can I do when I'm waiting for a meeting to start?
If you want the answers to these questions and more, keep listening.
Once a quarter, we offer our in-person events with an extra day focused on just hiring. And in November, that event is the 13th through 15th in the San Jose Cupertino area. 3 days, EHM, EMC, and ECC. Come and see us and take advantage of the hiring training we offer. You know that feeling when you've hired the wrong person? It's the worst. We want to help you make all of your future hires fantastic. Sign up for any of these events at manager-tools.com/training.
Numerous studies carried out since the beginning of the remote work revolution show that professionals who work remotely are less likely to get recognized, rewarded, or promoted. And that was true before the great pandemic. And then when everybody went home, and we had even more data about people working from home. And then the test case almost of some people going back to the office and some people not going back to the office after the pandemic has provided even more data. And the results of all of that data have stayed the same. According to one survey in 2023, the research by Live Data Technologies, remote workers were 35% more likely to be laid off and 31% less likely to be promoted. And there's a bunch of benefits to working remotely. I've worked from home for the entire length of time that I've worked for Manager Tools, and I wouldn't want to work in an office. I don't know that I could anymore. So there's a lot of people that don't want to go back to the office, and that's fair. And if you are working in an organization where some people are in the office and some people are working from home, you have to accept that. That might have an impact on your career. And in this cast, we're going to talk about one of the ways that you can mitigate that difference and stay top of mind for the people that make decisions about managers, about layoffs and promotions. And that is being early to meetings, which sounds incredibly simple, but hopefully will persuade you during this cast.
So what we're going to cover today is be 5 minutes early, use the time to connect personally, use the time to clarify written communication, use the time to signal your professionalism, avoid booking back-to-back meetings, set an alarm and pay attention to it, also prepare in advance.
So be 5 minutes early for every virtual meeting you can be. And we realized that if I started to write, be 5 minutes early to every virtual meeting. And then I realized, hold on. In the real world, you can't do that because some of you are in back-to-back meetings or some of you are in meetings that run late. And so you can't get to the next meeting in time. So you have to have an organizational culture of starting meetings on time and finishing them on time. And I'm going to repeat again, my friend who works for a very big technical company where if the meeting says 11, it doesn't start till 5 past because they find that people are late. So they don't start till 5 past, which means that people are late for 5 past and they don't start till 10 past, which means people are late for that. And if you keep going, if you take that to the absurd end, an 11 o'clock meeting might as well be scheduled for 12 o'clock. So I just find that ridiculous. But if And hopefully your organization does start meetings on time, be 5 minutes early for that time, if you can.
And we're also going to assume that being at a virtual meeting means that you are on camera and being audible with your clothing, your background, your lighting, etc. All of those things that you are going to have set up that will give the same impression as you would during an in-person meeting. So you show up to the virtual meeting just like you would if you were in the office. That's what we mean by being at the meeting. None of the next steps will work to your advantage if you have not covered these basics.
If you are not on camera, you're not at the meeting. Or at least if you are working towards staying top of mind for the people, the other people that are in the meeting. Because if they can't see you, they don't think you exist. I mean, they do know you exist, but there is something about, especially my settings on Zoom on one of my accounts, if somebody's not on camera, their little picture doesn't appear at all. It only shows me the people that are on camera. So literally those people don't exist to me. And I do it when I have a meeting with 50 people in it, so it doesn't matter because I wouldn't be able to see all 50 anyway. But yeah, sometimes literally if you're not on camera, you can't be seen and you don't exist.
Yeah, the app itself puts you at the bottom,
mm-hmm.
right? You don't exist if all of those people not on camera are on the second screen mm-hmm. in my settings. Like, you don't actually exist on my Zoom. And have you ever thought, like, I know that name, but I can't put a face to it?
Mm-hmm.
That's the other problem. If nobody knows what you look like, they can't make a connection, right? You're just a name.
Yes.
And you're never going to be top of mind if you're just a name tag on the screen.
And you think, like, my boss knows who I am. Yes, your boss knows who you are. But if they think back to the last week and think, did Sharon contribute to the meeting? If they can't see you in their mind's eye, they'll mm-hmm. be sure that you didn't contribute, even if you did.
Yeah. There's just so many more benefits to being online. The other thing is, even if you're on, but your camera's not on, you can be chatting and people still assume that you're not there.
Yes.
Because it's kind of like when you're sitting there taking notes, people still assume that you're probably checking your email, right?
Mm-hmm.
If you're not on camera, the assumption is like, oh, they probably walked away.
Mm-hmm.
How do I even know that they're there? We unfortunately don't always assume positive intent. And this is another really good example of we should, but we're humans and we don't.
That's true. So if we're going to show up 5 minutes early, what are we going to do? And the first thing is use the time to connect personally.
So you're going to use this time to make personal relationship building connections. Again, it's all about relationships. Here we yes. are.
By the way, yeah. How
Let's
far in?
Circle
are we
back.
Like 8 minutes. Yeah.
8 minutes in, and it's about relationships. So before we give you some suggestions for enabling yourself to be early, let's discuss why you'd want to quote unquote waste, which it is very much not a waste of 5 minutes, of being early for every meeting. Because there's always that temptation to click on like at 7:59 for an 8 o'clock meeting, right? If you're like me and you try to do that, it starts refreshing, but we're going to get to that later. So then you're late. But why are we saying be 5 minutes early? Because it's definitely not going to be a waste. If there's no one else in the meeting for that 5 minutes, of course, it's not wasted at all, since you could be carrying on work until all the people arrive. When you're in a meeting for that time, you have time for the kind of personal relationship building conversations that happens in person, those one-off conversations that you don't always get. And again, even if you're the only person in the room, you can still be doing work. You don't have to sit there and stare at yourself.
No.
So it's not going to be a waste. I always log in early only because I might forget to log in on time. So log in early, do whatever you have to do. But when people pop on, you're ready for them.
So these personal topics, like asking after everybody's weekend, following up on something that you know is happening at home, like, you know, a child had a football game at the weekend, or asking how someone is dealing with a situation, whether that's good or bad, you know, like, oh, you're buying a new car, or, oh, you know, something happened. None of those things are part of the agenda. And so if you start the meeting at 8 and the agenda is full until 9, there's no chance for you to have that. Those conversations, those personal connections. And so if you didn't have that time before the meeting, how else would you have those connections? How else would you make time for those connections? And the answer is you'd have to make a phone call to say, how was your weekend? Or send an instant message or an email. And all of those seem a bit weird now. Like even I phoned you the other day, like a couple of weeks ago, and I phoned because I was in the car. And then I was like, can I call you? Because that now seems weird to call people on the phone. So calling people on the phone to then ask them about their weekend would seem even weirder. And apart from anything, the person who's receiving that call is thinking, why are you asking about my weekend? What do you really want?
Yep.
Right?
Oh my gosh, what's on fire?
That's, yeah.
that's when I get phone calls, right? When things are on fire.
So the weirdness of that, you know, doesn't help you. Whereas if it's in the few minutes before a meeting starts and you're just filling time, it doesn't seem weird.
Because the same thing happens in person, right? If you see someone in the hall, you just do things to fill the time, right? And those are when the conversations happen. So when there's part of the team that are on the call early, it's a chance for that kind of banter that really connects people. And if you're not in there, you miss out on being able to get in on those in jokes. You might fall behind, even if it happens in the meeting. Have you ever been early, had those conversations, and then it comes up halfway through the meeting, and if you weren't there, you don't get to laugh. You're like, that's not on the agenda, but everyone else is in on it. So you miss out if you're not part of that 5 minutes of relationship building.
And even worse, to some extent, is if you come in halfway through it and everybody's already laughing about something and you don't know what it is and you can't join in and there's only 2 minutes to explain it and that nobody's going to explain it to you. That's, in some sense, even worse. So being early allows you to be in on all of those conversations.
Yeah, and I've been on both, like, because we have a good banter going before our Friday morning meetings. And those times that I can't make it early, I'm like, I might as well just have not shown up because no one's explaining to me why everyone's laughing. They're probably laughing at me and now everyone's quiet, right?
Yeah, that's what it feels like. I can promise you
it's not.
We don't laugh at Amanda, but it does feel like that way.
It's okay if you do. Yeah, I'm here for it.
So one other way you can use the time is to clarify written communication. So face-to-face, or even if we're talking over a video screen, it's an opportunity to explain or soften written communications. So like sitting in an office, you might say to someone, hey, I'm about to send an email. It's got a whole bunch of actions. Don't worry about them. None of them for you. I'm copying you because you'll need to know for the meeting on Friday. Or maybe you've sent like 5 emails to somebody in 5 minutes and they've all got tasks and you get on a call and you're able to say to them, I'm really sorry, I inundated you this morning. Like, things have been crazy. Is there something I can do? Like, can I help you out with something? Those kind of conversations that allow for the clarification of the mood of a written communication. Because with email, we all say emails come across like people are mad more often than they come across that people are happy, right? If somebody sends a terse email or a short email that doesn't have a lot of explanation, then we just assume that people are mad. This gives you an opportunity to say, hey, I know that email might have seemed weird, but or might have seemed like I'm mad, but I'm totally not. Or it gives a person just time to see your face and see that you're not in a bad mood. So those 5 minutes before the meeting give you a chance to have those kind of, especially if you are early and the other person is early and there isn't a whole, like if you get there 2 minutes early and most of the team is already there, you can't have that one-on-one conversation. But if you're early enough, usually you can.
Yeah. And back to how you can read written communication, I can say the same line in an email. I can read an email 4 different ways, with 4 different tones, depending on my mood, your mood, when I wrote it, because maybe I'm happier now, but when I wrote it wasn't so great, right? But the same words can come off differently when you don't see someone's facial expressions. Also, it's faster. It's much faster to be like, hey, I'm going to send you an email. Everything's fine. Don't worry about it. And if we need to follow up, we'll do a call, right?
Or I know you won't understand this, you know.
Yeah.
Because you're new.
So much longer.
Don't worry about it. I'm going to cover it with you, you know.
Yeah. So taking those few minutes before a meeting is better than asking. And it's better than asking at the end of the meeting, right? Even if you have to prompt them, I would say, like, hey, because when you catch people at the end of the meeting, you've sat through an hour-long meeting, and you're like, hey, can you stay on for a few more minutes? No one ever thinks that's good.
No.
Right? It's not like, let's party. It's, oh no, what's next, right?
Right. And you don't know that someone's available, whereas if they're on the call 3 minutes before a meeting starts, you know they're not going to be any, they don't need to be anywhere else than that 3 minutes.
Navigating the start of your career can feel overwhelming. But with our Career Tools license, you're not alone. We've crafted resources specifically to guide you through landing your first job and beginning your career well. Our interview series is a go-to resource for mastering the interview process. Learn to prepare effectively, present yourself with confidence, and seal the deal. These tried and true techniques have helped countless individuals achieve their career goals. Your first boss can play a pivotal role in your professional development. Our Effective Relationship series offers insights into building strong, lasting connections that can propel your career forward. And with our range of podcasts, you can develop skills in personal productivity, effective communications, and more, ensuring you're prepared for any challenge. Wherever you are now, our tools offer the on-ramp to your career aspirations. Begin now with resources that set you up for long-term success. Visit us online today at manager-tools.com/licenses.
So the next one is use this time to signal your professionalism. So most importantly, probably, when it comes to whether or not you're going to be laid off or promoted, being early is a signal of your professionalism, dedication, and enthusiasm for the job that you're doing. Because if you're not enthusiastic and you don't want to be there, you're not early for things, right? People who want to progress, people who want to be part of a team, people who want to give a good impression are generally early for things. And I'm not saying like 100% of the time you have to be 5 minutes early, otherwise you don't deserve a promotion because you're not showing you care. That's way too extreme. But I'm saying generally, the more enthusiastic, the more dedicated, the people who actually want to be doing their job and have a reason to do it tend to be early for meetings and other things. And so being early the majority of the time gives other people who make those decisions the impression that you want to be there.
Yeah. And this is an interesting point because I was recently just having a conversation with one of our other colleagues, and we were talking about one-on-ones and why directs have more pushback to one-on-ones, and it's because they want to avoid their managers, right? You should have one-on-ones because typically the people that are underperforming will do things to avoid other people, kind of fly under the radar.
Yes, exactly.
And I'm not saying that that is the point of if you never can show up early to a meeting because of whatever reasons, but if people kind of see you flying under the radar, they don't really know you. I mean, it leaves a gray area when it comes to relationships of like, yeah, I mean, popping on, seeing a smiling face, just having some banter, it goes a long ways compared to the person that is the last one on, the first one off, that never really jives with the team. It's if you're trying to fly under the radar, it's not that you go unnoticed. You get noticed, but it's not in a good way, right?
Right? Yeah, exactly. And being on time or being late to meetings is not a signal that you're busy or important. It's a signal that you can't manage your time or your workload, or that you just don't care enough to connect. And someone is going to make those negative connections, not the positive ones of, oh, that person must be so busy, or, oh, that person must be so important, especially if you are in a team and you're just a peer of the people that are joining the meeting. You know, if you're the director and you join a meeting of a whole bunch of people who are 3 layers below you and you're late, they will assume it's because you're more important. But for most of us, that's not the case. Most of us are joining meetings with our peers or our bosses level. And those people, A, know what we're supposed to be doing, and B, don't think we're any more important than they are.
So now what we're going to talk about is avoid booking back-to-back meetings.
Yes, and this is one of the ways you can help yourself be early. So we're going to switch gears. Hopefully we've convinced you that being early is worth it. Now we're going to talk about how to achieve that. So avoid booking back-to-back meetings. So some of us have calendars that are mostly filled by other people, and therefore we feel like we don't have any influence over when the meetings are or whether or not we can say yes to them. But we probably have more influence than we think, even if all of the meetings are booked by other people.
In general, your peers, even if you're the most junior person on the team, will be willing to accept a suggestion for a different time. To make this more likely, don't negotiate every time, just at those times when being early to the next meeting will be helpful. For example, if you have a weekly team meeting and you're 5 minutes early 90% of the time, 1 week when you have another meeting right up against it won't really matter. If, however, it's a quarterly meeting that includes your boss and their peers, then the ability to be early is worth the give and take with your peers. So you do have to balance out your schedule, how important it is if you're going to try to leverage moving times.
And moving a single meeting rather than moving, like if you ask for the same meeting to be moved every week, you might as well reschedule it at a different time, right?
Yeah.
Instead of even having it as a repeating calendar item. Mm-hmm. The fewer people that are being scheduled for a meeting, the more likely you are to have some influence on when it takes place. Because when it's just you and one other person trying to find a time that will work, there's probably a bunch of times that you can choose between. And having it Wednesday at 3 and Thursday at 10 a.m. probably isn't that big a deal. But if your peer is trying to set a meeting for 10 people, then your willingness to say, I'll make it work, or I'll be there, even if it's not perfect for you, that goes a long way and will be appreciated by your peers. And that will be the contribution you make to that relationship that day. The more people there are, the harder it is to book a meeting that works for everybody. And if you're that person who's ever had to try and book a meeting for 10 people without having the authority to just say, it's now, clear your calendar, it's really difficult. So having a peer who says, draw it, I will make it work for you, that's the person that gets the gold star for the week.
Yeah. And the better your relationships, the more you have to leverage.
Exactly. As if we haven't said that before.
Right. Relationships have nothing to do with it. Mm-hmm. I'm just kidding. Right? It's everything. Another way to help you be early is to set an alarm and pay attention to it. So it's not just setting an alarm. It's actually following through on what that alarm does. And I take that note very personal because I am the master of snoozing. So you just not setting an alarm, you actually have to follow through with it and listen to it. So the only way to make sure that you're on time is to make sure you know what time it is now and when the meeting is. So setting alarm is one way, especially if you don't have a lot of meetings. It's more likely you'll miss or be late to a single meeting if you have mid-morning, because you're more likely to get absorbed in something else. Dare I say, we all find that rabbit hole. Mm-hmm. And I do this all the time. That's why all of my meetings have a 10-minute before. It pops up because I go down that rabbit hole, especially in the middle of the day. And when it pops up, I just sign on to it. Mm-hmm. So what if I'm 10 minutes early and continuing to do the task that I was before? I'm ready, right? Because too many times when I ignore it, I get down that, continue down that rabbit hole. And now it's 1 minute into the meeting and I look like an idiot. So don't be Amanda. Listen to your alarm.
And if you tend to zone out on alarms, then you have to keep changing them. If you are someone who tends to be absorbed and forget what time it is, then stop what you're doing as soon as you hear or see the notification. Because that just one more sentence is what drives you to be late all of the time. Not that either of us know that personally. There's also software that will log you on to virtual meetings that are on your calendar automatically. So Microsoft Teams has this built in, according to Google, which I don't have Teams, so I couldn't check. But according to Google, you can do this automatically. I have Meeting Bar on a Mac, and it puts the next meeting and how long I have until it starts next to the clock on my computer. Right now, it says podcast recording, Wendy and Amanda, 26 minutes left. And if there were, before this meeting, it said podcast recording, Wendy and Amanda, 22 minutes to go, and then 20 minutes to go, and so on. And then it logs me on 2 minutes ahead of time. And the Zoom window comes over everything else that I'm working on. So I cannot not notice that I'm ready. If you're as vague as I can be some days, you need it.
Yeah. Mine now is set to my Apple Watch. So it vibrates 10 minutes before. I can't, even if I'm not sitting right at my desk, set the notifications so you'll listen to them.
And use the technology to help you.
Yeah. Work smart.
Yes,
it's
exactly.
There.
Yeah.
It's like other people have these same issues. Mm-hmm. That's why they invented the apps. Smarter people than me are trying to help out the masses.
Yes.
So it's out there. It's out there for you to find what works for you.
And then the last part of this is prepare in advance, because some of the things that make people late for meetings can easily be avoided if you actually prepare for them in advance. So, for example, I go to a standing meeting once a week outside work, and every single week, one person texts before the meeting, what's the link? Or 5 minutes into the meeting when everybody else is just waiting for her because she's the most important person, what's the link? It's the same link every week if you are in your car every week when the meeting starts, which she is. You put it on your phone, you put it in your calendar such that your phone can connect to the meeting. It seems obvious to me that that's what you would do. So put the connection details and any notes that you need in the calendar appointment or somewhere where you can see it easily. And then once a week, go through your calendar. If you don't do this now anyway, you should start doing it. Like Friday afternoon when you do your review of, or Monday morning when you do your review of your work, go through the calendar and look, any virtual meetings, do you have the link? Do you have the notes you need?
The next is have the right software running and updated. Add update all programs to your weekly review and start your communication software first thing in the morning on any day that you'll need it. This is especially important if you use more than one software or the one that you're using, if there's likely to be an update or something that has changed that you can't find what you need. We've all been there. We use Zoom. So you click into the Zoom and it's like, need an update. And you're like, no, right? Let that happen to you one meeting, one important meeting. You're like, never again.
And it's never one where it just restarts itself. It's always one where it has to restart the entire computer. The more, more important the meeting, the more likely it is it'll have to restart the entire thing for you.
Yeah. And it happens when you don't use things frequently too. Mm-hmm. That always pops up like apps on my phone. I'm like, I needed something from an app today. And it's like, you haven't used this in 6 months. So you have to update it. And it's always when you're on a time crunch. It's never when you have 10 minutes to like do the reset. It's when you are 30 seconds to go, get under the wire. So plan ahead, update those things.
And then once you actually get that update, they've moved something. So the one thing you were going to share your screen and they've moved the share screen or they've added some options and you're not sure which one to choose. It literally seems to happen. The more important the meeting, the more likely negative things are supposed to happen. It's like the software knows how to mess your life up. So don't let it.
But it only needs to happen once for you to always plan ahead.
Exactly. So have the documents or links you need attached to the calendar appointment or in a folder that you can easily find. So for those of us who are really old, once upon a time, we worked in offices and we had paper. And yes, I know, it was amazing. And we had this thing called a tickler file, which is 43 folders marked 1 to 12 for the months of the year and then 1 to 31 for the days of the week. And you would put the meeting notes or whatever it was you needed to take to the meeting in the day that you needed them. So if I was going to a meeting next week, I would put the notes for that meeting in October 28th. And then when October 28th comes, I can just pull those notes out and I'm ready for my meeting. Creating the digital equivalent of whatever that is for you, whether it's attaching to your calendar, if it's attaching to some folder that you have for upcoming meetings, however you do it. One of the most frustrating things, I think, for other people is to watch you go, I can't find the document, or I'm looking for the document, especially if you're going to present it. You should have been prepared.
Yep.
It just gives a bad impression. It's like, do you not know where everything is? Are you not keeping your computer tidy? Are you not ready for this meeting? Did you not want to achieve whatever it was that you were presenting? Okay, that gives an impression.
Yeah, absolutely. And then the last one is intend to be early. The majority of people who get to a meeting exactly as it starts or just after never have any intention of being early. They intended to get there as the meeting did exactly when they did. So set your personal standard as being 5 minutes early and then you work to achieve it. Again, don't be the person that's like, 7:59:59, gonna make it. Yeah. No plan on being there early.
The people that are there at 7:59:59, they intended to be there at 7:59:59. Right. So if you have set the intention to be there early, then you'll take action to do so. And there is a constant low-level complaining in many organizations that there are too many meetings. And working remotely, those meetings, whether you think there are too many or not, are an important tool for you to maintain the connections, build relationships, and demonstrate your value to the organization. It's not only whatever you're going to achieve in the meeting. That meeting gives you an opportunity to enhance your career or to keep it going and to be visible when decisions about who gets promoted or who gets rewarded or who gets laid off are made. And it all starts with being early. Thanks, Amanda.
Thanks, Wendy.
Bye, everyone.
Bye.